It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susanna Wensby is cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 22nd of June, the 173rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 192 days left in 2024. How about a poetic starter for our meal together today? A friend sent a poem to me last week, and I so like it that I just have to share it with you. It's by the late American poet William Martin, who also wrote a guide to parenting called The Parents' Tao Te Ching, Ancient Advice for Modern Parents. This poem is called Do Not Ask Your Children to Strive. Do not ask your children to strive for extraordinary lives. Such striving may seem admirable, but it is the way of foolishness. Help them instead to find the wonder and the marvel of an ordinary life. Show them the joy of tasting tomatoes, apples, and pears. Show them how to cry when pets and people die. Show them the infinite pleasure in the touch of a hand, and make the ordinary come alive for them. The extraordinary will take care of itself. Good advice for parents, don't you think? And good advice for us all, no matter what your age. It really doesn't take much to find pleasure and joy in the world. Well, that is if you have the great good fortune to not live in a war zone, let's be realistic. But if you are in a land at peace, and you'll take the time to stop and look and see and feel all the beauty that surrounds you, you can easily find contentment. I have, anyway. That's the case for listener Mohammed El Said Abd El Rahim from El Sharqa in Egypt. He wrote me last week describing what he saw around him. Here's his letter. It's morning here, beautiful and charming, as there are peasant works in the lands on the outskirts of the city. Everyone is preparing to plant rice, so there's a lot of water because the land is being irrigated to prepare for planting. These spaces become like a large, shiny mirror that reflects everything, and how beautiful it is at night when it reflects the lights of the stars and the moon. Since today is Thursday, near my house there's a lot of noise, but it is pleasant. It's the weekly market in the city in which I live. You'll find everything sold here, vegetables, cheeses, dairy, fish, and many other things too. Thank you for your lovely letter, Mohammed.
This your girl, Bella the Bee. Stay live, stay fly, stay loving. Asheo.
Our magic mixer, Erwan Rome, is behind the glass at the soundboard, ready to put all the Sound Kitchen ingredients into the pot and make a tasty meal for you. Our co-chef, Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister. I'm not doing it this week. I'm not going to do it this week.
You're still laughing. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and music from Erwan, so don't touch that dial.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen on Radio France International. Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. On the 18th of May, I asked you a question about the South African legislative elections that were, at that time, on the horizon. They took place on May 29th. RFI English journalist Melissa Shamam was there. One of the articles she sent us was about the possible alliances if the African National Congress, Nelson Mandela's party, did not win a majority. As she wrote, polls are predicting the party will lose its majority, with many voters disgruntled by the failure to address inequality. The question was, if the ANC no longer has the majority, what are the names of the two parties that the ruling ANC could pick as coalition partners? Paul, what's the answer?
The centre-right business-friendly Democratic Alliance, the DA, or the Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF. Here's what happened, as Melissa noted in her recent article. Ramaphosa re-elected as South African leader after a historic coalition deal. That historic coalition deal was made between the governing ANC and the centre-right DA party. The ANC has been in power since the end of apartheid in 1994, but lost its majority for the first time in the 29th of May vote. It keeps 159 seats in the 400-seat National Assembly, and the DA now has 87 seats. The EFF has 39 seats. The new coalition voted to keep ANC leader Cyril Ramaphosa as president. This will be his second term. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. What is your idea of a great weekend? And that was suggested by Radhakrishna Pillai from Kerala State in India. You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are... RFI Listener's Club member Helmut Matt from Herbolzheim, Germany. Helmut is also this week's bonus question winner. He wrote, I'm sitting at the breakfast table, drinking a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper, which announces that all wars on Earth have ended. The politicians of the world have decided never to start wars again. That would be not just a great weekend, Helmut. That would be the greatest day ever, ever, ever. Congratulations on your double win, Helmut. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are RFI Listeners Club members Mohammed Mustansar Bila from Sunama Ganj, Bangladesh. Also hailing from Bangladesh, this time from Rangpur, is Atwar Rahman Ranju, who's the president of the Alokita Manush Kai International Radio Listeners Club. From West Bengal, India, there's faithful listener and correspondent Bidhan Chandra Sanyal, who extended his sincere love and greetings to all Muslims for Eid al-Adha last weekend and added, no, I am not a Muslim, I am a Hindu, but I respect all religions of the world. Good on you, dear Bidhan. Last but not least, there's RFI English listener Tara Regmi from Biratnagar, Nepal. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Earlier this week, the world's largest arms show, the Orosatori Weapons Show, took place here in Paris, and RFI English journalist Jan van der Meijde went out to take a look. He wrote an article about it for you, Israel and Russia barred as world's largest arms show opens in Paris. Israel and Russia were excluded because of the wars in Gaza and Ukraine, but China, as Jan notes in his article, which supports Russia in its war in Ukraine, was present with 61 companies. France was represented by 678 companies. In all, 2,015 defense-related companies registered for stands to show their wares. I want you to reread Jan van der Meijde's article, Israel and Russia Barred as World's Largest Arms Show Opens in Paris, and send in the answer to this question. Why is the arms fair called Orosatori? Again, reread Jan van der Meijde's article, Israel and Russia Barred as World's Largest Arms Show Opens in Paris, and send in the answer to this question. Why is the show called Orosatori? You'll find Jan's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
It is, what is your favourite food and why? It was suggested by Momataz Begum Nazu from Naugan in Bangladesh. What is your favourite food and why?
So, baby brother, yours?
favourite food, is it? Does that mean favourite meal? I would go.
Oh, for, you could go to meal, I guess.
Favourite food. I'll go for a bit of chicken. That's my favourite. I like a bit of chicken.
Chicken,
yeah.
But any special way the chicken
roast?
Oh yeah, roast chicken.
Simply roast. Yeah, I mean, I do all kinds of chickens. I do sort of sautéed and crunched up and stir fried. But a good roast chicken, stick it in the oven, prod it every now and again. I like the prodding. Are you cooked? Are you cooked? Speak to me. Are you cooked?
You wiggle his leg around. Right.
Doesn't look good for you, does it?
Hey, have you ever, you know what I do? Have you ever taken the chicken, put him in a big old plastic bag, poured buttermilk?
No.
Buttermilk and harissa.
No.
And leave him in the fridge for, you know, like 12 hours. You take it out and massage it. No. And then you put it, oh, my God, it is so good. You got to try my recipe.
But I would say, thinking back, my dad had a way of doing chicken, which he handed to me. I do it every now and again. You've got to get a Dutch pot. That's the key. And the Dutch pot's got to be properly seasoned, which obviously takes years. And you've got to do it overnight. The key to the chicken is overnight seasoning. And I know the difference. I used to say, he used to go really mad when he couldn't do the chicken overnight, season the chicken overnight. I said, what difference does it make? And then once I tried it and I seasoned one, and then I didn't do it another time, and even I could taste the difference. And latterly, just before he died, he started putting in tomato ketchup. Yeah, that's what I said.
Ew.
And he did it for his grandchildren. And he said, like, you don't matter. It's the grandchildren I'm doing it for. And when he did it, and there was just loads and loads of happy faces. And so, yeah, he just kind of looked at me and said, you don't matter. And I did try it with tomato ketchup, and actually he was right.
Oh, really?
It really does work. Oh. But it's got to be done overnight.
Ah,
anyway,
okay.
Chicken. There you go.
Okay,
elaborate chicken. And you...
Mine's easy, mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes. My mom's, only my mom's. I can't really say why.
It's parents again.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Aside from the fact that I like them, but I can tell you memories around them. Okay. It's the 1960s, Southern California.
You were born in the 1960s? You were around in the 1960s?
I was reading a novel about someone who was born in the 1960s. So we were allowed to watch TV before dinner. Mom used a mixer to mash the potatoes, and when she turned it on, it would create interference with the TV.
Right. Yeah.
So the sound would go, and you'd get all these kind of rock and roll geometric things interrupting our favorite series, Disney series, no doubt. And so we would really, even though we were happy to be having mashed potatoes later. So we were such a happy, normal American middle class family of six. Yeah. It was really normal. This two dogs, the station wagon with the fake wood on the side of it. I mean,
all right.
Like
the station wagon, yeah,
with the fake wood paneling on the sides.
Like
like TV show normal. Anyway, so maybe all this about mashed potatoes is just nostalgia, but I can still eat my weight in them, and no one's are ever as good as mom's, not even my mother-in-law's, who's a goddess in the kitchen. Anyway, I am just sure when we meet again in heaven, Mom will be standing there with a huge bowl of mashed potatoes for me.
Saying you're late.
So what about you? What's your favorite food and why? Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. And thanks again, Momotaz, for the suggestion and the little needle that led us into such great memories. You have until the 15th of July to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 20th of July to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 12 9682. That's +336 31 12 9682. Always include your postal mailing address and, if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen on RFI.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week, suggested by Radhakrishna Pillai from Kerala State in India, is: what is your idea of a great weekend? So let's start with the quizmaster extraordinaire, Radhakrishna Pillai. His idea for a great weekend is trekking with friends. And this is what he wrote: I like trekking with a group of people who understand and respect nature. A full day trek to a hill and the chance to have lunch at the summit and enjoy the gentle breeze and the breathtaking view of the valley is unparalleled. My state, Kerala, has all the features of a prime trekking destination. I want to explore its unspoiled beauties and dazzling splendor with my friends. Dipita Chakrabarty also wants to be in nature. She wrote, my idea of a great weekend is to get away from city life and relax in the arms of nature. This is just what my family did last weekend. My son, Jaydeep, drove us 500 kilometers to the picturesque hill station, Manali, from where we traveled to the snow-laden high of Rotang Mountain Pass in the Himalayas. That's 13,000 feet up. It was a breathtaking and memorable experience, a perfectly spent weekend. The same goes for Debashish Gopi. He wrote, walking around in the country as his preferred weekend activity. Father Stephen Wara wants to be with those he is close to, no matter what the activity. He wrote, just staying close to my family and friends or religious community in everything, whatever I'm doing, be it religious worship services at home or away at parties. It's the same for Rodrigo Hunrikse, who wrote, a great weekend for me would be enjoying time with friends or family. All the better if it is in a comfortable or paradisiac place or special situation, like a special accomplishment or milestone in life, such as graduations, concerts, sporting events, religious baptisms or marriages, travel departures or arrivals and birthdays. Jayanta Chakrabarty just wants to relax, and this is what he wrote. I always look forward to a weekend to restore my energy. It is the time to just relax and listen to soothing music while sipping delightful Darjeeling tea with my favourite cheese cream croissants. Karuna Kantapal is with you, Jayanta. He wrote, in my case, the weekend means relaxing and doing some domestic work. A great weekend is also going for an outing, not too far, with family and friends. We'll end with Nasir Muhammad, who has devised a rather clever way to ensure he has a good weekend. This is what he wrote. I sleep a lot on the weekends, in addition to watching my favourite clubs play. A win for those teams means a perfect weekend for me. A loss, a bad weekend. Do you see the reason why I have two favourite clubs? there is a high possibility that one of those clubs may avoid a defeat. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Mumtaz Begum Nazu from Nowgan in Bangladesh, is, what is your favourite food and why? Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A pleasure, as always.
Hello, I am Sultan Mohammed Sarkar, president of Shetu RFI Listeners Club from Bangladesh. I am listening to The Sound Kitchen, and Susan Winnis by is cooking. Thanks to all of you.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in The Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week for the answer to the question about the Roland Garros French Open tennis tournament. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose a song by the Sacramento, California-based band, The Philharmonic, led by Christian Gates. The band is the winner of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest, produced by my old radio network, National Public Radio, NPR, in the U.S. The Tiny Desk concerts are held behind, you got it, a tiny desk, and feature a far-flung variety of musicians performing five or six of their compositions or interpretations of not often heard music. It's a wonderful show, like just about everything from NPR, but of course I'm not objective. And you can hear it too. Just go to npr.org, Tiny Desk, and you'll find it. The Tiny Desk production team started a national competition 10 years ago, and this past year, there were over 7,000 entries. Christian Gates and his band, The Philharmonic, came in first. Erwan chose their piece called Pay Me. It's about the very real American problem of being underpaid for one's work. Amongst highly developed nations, the U.S. has very few worker protections and very few unions. In fact, several states have what they call a right-to-work law, which sounds nice, but means, in practice, no unions. And trying to organize a union can lead to being fired on the spot with no compensation. As one jury member put it, it's music with a message we can all connect to, but it brings freshness to the discussion. So it is a song about social injustice, and there is profanity in it, marking the frustration felt by so many American workers. But it grooves, too. I really like it, and I hope you do, too. Enjoy. And thanks, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends. Talk to you all next week.
Can I do that working on a minimum wage? On a minimum wage. I'm only got empty chips and the dollar. Cause I'll be damned if I once again use my hands to work for the man. Who got all this supply, but he always fails to meet out a man. Cause I don't wanna struggle no more with some bills that I can't afford. I'm paying tax for some dumbass war when there's nothing to be fighting for. Shit to deal with at home. I can't help but keep my enemies close.
Keep my enemies close.
So you better not get up your hopes, cause right now I'ma let you know.